Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace and Grit podcast. I have a guest on today, Johnny Davis. Johnny is a longtime friend from the Pacific Northwest, and I've known him for a while. So I invited him on to talk to us about the dating and courtship, Christian romance. Johnny has been an intern. He has a ton of experience working with youth and young adults. He has been in ministry school, and he has honestly been in ministry since he was 16 years old. So when I first got to know Johnny, I saw his huge heart, just a huge heart for people, and very, very gifted relationally. So I'm super excited to have him on. So Johnny, start us out with one of your top thoughts on Christian dating and what you're most passionate about.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. It's really an honor and a pleasure. I just feel like sometimes we can overcomplicate things like we can in anything. I think a lot of times in Christian dating, we kind of can either over-spiritualize it, where it's like everything has to be like there's a light that shines down and you hear an audible voice, or we can go the other end where it's like if they breathe, they must be who I should date. And so it's like there's a ditch on both sides of the road there. So I just love talking to people about this and kind of help guiding them in those areas where maybe they need to come a little bit away from one side or the other.
What do you think about the idea that there is the one person out there for all of us? Do you think that's true or false?
It's funny. I will never say 100% this is the exact because I can always learn different, but I think we as a big church, I know every church community is different. I think we get really hung up on this. And to even get a little theological, it's like God gave us free will. So when I think of the whole idea of the one, it's like, well, we have free will. So what, someone could be the one, but what if they decide not to go through with it? Does that mean that we are supposed to be lonely for the rest of our lives because that person didn't decide they didn't want to go for that? It's, I think there's a lot more grace and wiggle room that God gives us. I love a quote that I heard on a podcast I was listening to by a couple of life consultants. They said that I will know who the one is for me when I'm at the altar saying I do because of me choosing who the one is. And I really love that because the other downfall I sometimes see when people get so wrapped up in finding the one is it almost can, in a way, take responsibility off of ourselves. It's not that we chose them. Well, God chose them. So when things are going wrong, sometimes rather than looking of like, wow, what am I doing? What do I need to fix? It's like, well, God told me this is the one. So God, what is going on? Why is this happening? Rather than looking inward. I think the one exists in the sense that we choose who the one is. We select somebody, say, I am at the altar of the wedding. From this day forward, I'm choosing this person to be my soulmate, to be someone I spend the rest of my life with. Good, bad, rich, poor, all those wedding vows. We choose that and say, for the rest of my life, I'm going to do this and I'm going to choose to love you even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, And so with all that, I just sometimes think we get so caught up in, we like even sometimes praying, God, send me the one, God, send me the one. And it's like, what are we doing to find? Are we working on ourselves? Are we helping ourselves to get ready for marriage? Because there's a lot in marriage that, especially like some of us younger folks, I mentor a lot of 20, 25 year olds. They're praying that and it's like, no, everyone's on a journey, but someone's like, they won't have a job or, like they're bad at savings. Things that when you get married are pretty important to have. So there's that aspect. And then also it's, I remember having a conversation with someone. They're like, you know what? I don't even care if I have feelings or find the person attractive. I'm just going to wait for God to tell me who the one is and I'm just going to go for it. And I remember feeling bad because I kind of laughed. I'm like, well, that's not going to be very fun if you just think that. And then all of a sudden you're with someone that you don't like. Maybe they smell weird. Just all the little things, that you can have in life. You're choosing a someone to do your to do life with for decades, possibly. You probably should make sure you want to actually be around them, And
Yes.
I think that's really important. I think in that we can rush the process too, because we just really want to get married, but getting to know someone and just finding out if they're the one and the fact of you want them to be the one. You know, that's, I think that's the most important thing of all.
Yeah. I'd like to wrap back a little bit to what you said about not focusing on the fact that there is the one. Because honestly, if one person messes up the one concept, that means everything for everybody else is also messed up, because this is a domino effect here. But I think I like to encourage like Christian youth, like, hey girl, there is more than one guy that you can be compatible with. You know, there's probably a guy in Pennsylvania that would make a great husband. There's probably a guy in Michigan that would make a great one. There's probably one in your, you know, maybe five in your community that would make a great husband that you could really connect with. And so it boils down to the ability to commit and to not be afraid of missing out. I see a lot of people so incredibly afraid of missing out. Like deep inside, they're always thinking there's going to be someone better around the corner. Right. And so they can't ever just settle with someone and love someone and marry them. And especially like in today's culture with dating apps and Instagram and Facebook, and there's all these faces popping up in front of everyone. There's a million options. Back in the day, there used to be, you know, the guy down the street or the guy at church. And so I find that it actually adds to the non-committed culture of the 21st century here. Is people are honestly afraid to settle down and say, this is the person I'm going to date, and then date them seriously with not necessarily I'm going to marry them, but this is the person I'm going to get to know right now, you know? Yeah. And there's just a lot of maturity even that I find lacking in today's culture, where people even have a hard time settling down with one person to date. So back to just being the one, you know, that's a whole thing in itself. But also, how do we balance getting too spiritual in our finding a partner versus not factoring God into it at all? This was one thing you touched on. What does it look like to spiritualize it so much, but on the flip side, you're not even praying about God's will, and you're just like, oh, he's handsome, or oh, she's cute, or and you hear so much, you know, on Hollywood, they're all like, oh, he's so hot. You know, there's always this like this lonely girl who's in trouble and has a hard life. And then there's suddenly like this handsome cowboy. And as soon as you see his belt buckle, you know what's gonna happen. He's gonna rescue her, and they're gonna kiss like the first day they see each other. And something about that's getting really old to me. First of all, I don't look like those women. Second of all, most guys don't look like that guy. And so honestly, like our youth, our Christian youth who are trying to find their way through this romance thing, gosh, we need so much deeper. It has to come from so much deeper of a place. First of all, our hearts, you know, spiritual, emotional connection. And then, you know, physical usually follows if the first two are in place. And if it doesn't, that's a problem, but you know.
Yeah.
So, but back to spiritualizing everything or not factoring God into it at all. What do you think of that?
Well, first, I think I have to go shop for a belt buckle after this. Maybe that's what I've been missing, is I don't have the big cowboy belt buckle. No, it's funny because I've seen both sides. You know, I go to a church that it's a lot more, in every church to live in, but it's definitely a lot more like you're in to be in. Like, it's not like I just go on Sundays and then I leave earlier. It's like, it's become more of a community where we go after God together. Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful. Okay. But then in that, people can get very, I'll do the over-spiritualized first, is you can be like, well, I will know that they're the one when I see her and her voice makes me feel the presence of God and a light shines down and I hear the God say, she is your wife. Mm-hmm. And there's humor in that, but there is degrees of truth to it. I do know people that will say like, God will show me in a dream, or I will feel the presence of God and all those things. Like, that's totally, you know, can that happen? Yeah. I know there's a worship leading couple that I really adore that or have a big platform that there was a very much a spiritual thing, and that can happen. But just like you look in the Bible, everyone's experience is so different. We can't, you know, what worked for Moses didn't work for David. What worked for David didn't work for Peter. Like, God shows in the Bible, every person has a different, unique thing. And so I think sometimes in that when we over-spiritualize, we can kind of remove the getting to know the person. We can actually say, well, if I feel that God called me to marry this person, let's just rush this. I already know this is a thing. So let's not look for the flags, like the red and green flags in the relationship. Let's not see what these people are like with their money, or do they have an anger issue, or all these other things. They kind of, we can skip over when we over-spiritualize.
Yes.
Because yeah. Even in there, we can hear God wrong. I know that's a scary thing for some churches to say, but we're flawed, you know, we're flawed humans. And does it mean that we just completely stop trying to hear God? No, but it means we take some accountability in it. You know, I come from the overall church background of things like the prophetic and all that. And one thing that's very important is, you know, you weigh what you're going to say. You really make sure, like, do I really feel this is God? Does it line up with stuff? And then you ask, like, hey, did you feel that was, like, if I'm encouraging you, I ask, like, hey, did that say anything to you? Was that, did that bless you? You know, we tend to put a lot of responsibility and thought into other things in our life. Mm-hmm. You know, some of us, when we order something to eat at a restaurant, might make it take 25 minutes with a menu to figure out what to eat. Shouldn't we take the same kind of precautions with a marriage? You know, okay, cool. I was in a service and I felt just so loved by God when a certain person walked by me. That's great. But that doesn't necessarily mean it was because of that person. That could be just God was doing something. They happened to pass by, you know? So that's kind of what I mean by over-spiritualizing is we take the responsibility off of ourselves of getting to know someone, of seeing how compatible we are, seeing if we want to spend our whole lives with them, to like seeing how that would look like in the dating process. I know when I was younger in my early 20s, a lot of people would have a very short dating time, very short engagement, get married. And this is not at all to downplay that, because I think that can work for some people. But other times I'd see it where they're a year into marriage and they didn't realize that, you know, just to be blunt, oh, that person has a lust addiction. Oh, that person has a gambling problem. I did not know that. And it's so, that would be the over-spiritualization, is where we don't take time to weigh our choices to actually pursue someone and get to know them.
Yes.
Now, oh, go for it.
Just real quick, I come from the courtship culture, and I have heard not just my own experience, but other girls talk about this, where by the time you get, you're almost engaged from the start, you know,
and yeah, that's scary.
That can be so damaging to a girl. Like, because from the start, there's pressure. And yeah, I don't believe, I mean, I'm not one for like dating with no purpose or just dating for fun. Like I always encourage girls to date with a purpose, you know, but really just slow down and enjoy it and get to know this person, because there are so many, I want to say victims, but that's kind of a strong word, but courtship works beautifully for some couples. For others though, the girl ends up feeling so much pressure. She marries a man she barely knows because she's been told he's godly and he's spiritual, and the parents approve and his parents approve. Everyone in the church approves. She marries him. And then there's this unraveling of all this stuff like that she had no idea of. Maybe she felt uneasy, but she couldn't put it in words. And so she spiritualized it, jumped into the marriage, and bam, something's wrong. Even if the guy ends up being a great man, there is still, every girl needs to be romanced without pressure. Every
100%.
Girl needs to be dated, needs to be, you know, brought flowers just because I love you, not because you're going to be my wife in 3 months from now. And I know it because God told me, you know. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's risky for guys. Like, guys put in a lot of effort to risk a girl, you know, jumping out of the relationship a few months. But love is always a risk. And mm-hmm. I would say over-spiritualizing everything is a much greater of a risk to both of them than if you're just willing to enjoy each other for a while, get to know each other for a while, and yes, pray, and yes, get counsel. But Do not from day one say, I'm going to marry this girl or I'm going to marry this guy.
No, please don't. No, I love that. That's true. And, you know, I think getting into, like, as a guy, what I always think of when it comes to dating is, no matter what, my first goal is to honor and really treat this woman well, almost like, oh gosh, this might not be the best worded way to say it, but, you know, when someone lets you borrow something, you know, you want to, the old saying is like, you want to return it in better condition than it was when you got it.
Oh yeah.
We're dating, we're dating, you know, as guys, we're dating God's daughters. And it's like, mm-hmm. I want to do everything in my power to make sure that I honor and treat her so good that even if it doesn't work out, she has now a standard, like, okay, this was amazing. Sure, it didn't work out maybe, and there were a couple things, but this was amazing, and I want something, at least starting that again, like something better than, you know, that's something really on my heart for guys. And there's that on the girl side too, I'm sure. But
and you have to know, you guys have to know that if you can date a girl like that, even if it ends up not working out, you're going to have been a part of her healing, a part mm-hmm. of her, just a part of her becoming a better woman if you can treat her with that kind of respect, whether or not it works out. Because every investment of love that you make into that woman is going to do something in her heart and show her what it's like to be treated well by a guy. So
absolutely,
I would say to all Christian men out there, it is not in vain whether or not it works out. You are protectors. You are healers. You bring an umbrella of something. You bring a banner over a woman. And that is not just for boyfriends or for husbands. That is for every healthy, divinely masculine male who has any part in any woman's life whatsoever. He is healing and protecting her.
Yeah, and another thing on the courting too that I've thought about before, the other kind of downside in a way that can happen is we can lose the ability to get to know some pretty amazing people. Because mm-hmm. again, we're human. A lot of times, I'll just say it, the God said stuff, so many times when we feel that, it's the cute worship leader on stage that everyone's looking at. You know, so many times it's the person on a platform that in front of everyone looks amazing. God must be speaking about that person.
Yep.
But then there's the people that are in the church that are just as amazing if you get to know them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I really do feel that. I feel that sometimes you don't know someone's amazing until, like, you really get to know them. I know I have the story I tell about my two friends, that this girl that's like a sister to me, I remember calling me going, oh my gosh, one of the boys in our church just said he likes me. It's so-and-so. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, that's really awesome. I didn't know that. Like, what do you feel about him? Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. And I remember asking him, like, have you ever hung out with him outside of, like, church events on Sundays or, like, in big groups? And she's like, no, I really haven't. I'm like, you should just, even if just one time, go to coffee with him. Just kind of get to know him more. And I remember she did that. And a week later, she calls me going, I'm so in love with him. He is the most amazing person. And, you know, I think of stories like that. And if she wouldn't have just tried one time to go on one date and get to know him, she wouldn't have known that. She would have just seen, you know, this is the guy at church that sits in this section and does this. And there's something beautiful in getting to know someone and seeing, like, oh, there's more there. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how with God, like, he sees in us, there's more inside of us than we give ourselves credit for. And he sees the potential and pursues that. So it's like, same thing with dating, is you kind of have to, like, go beneath the surface and see who someone really is to know whether or not they're good or bad bit.
Yeah. And one of the points of your article that you wrote was the difference between courtship versus dating. And I would say that is one of the differences. Like, when you purpose not to jump into a relationship with, I'm going to marry this girl, that does give you an opportunity to be braver in approaching a girl.
Yeah.
And just to get to know her, like, hey, I would love to get to know you. And that's it. Like,
mm-hmm.
And the same for girls. Like, if young girls could just be so careful in choosing a husband and But have it more, not like careful, as in I have to pray for 3 months on my knees about this guy to see if I should go out with him. Nah, not that kind of pressure. More like, seems like a really great guy. I'm going to hang out with him, and with no pressure. And both of them understand that we're just getting to know each other. And I think that's so beautiful. But talk to me more about the difference between courtship versus dating and what you see there.
Oh, yeah. So this is where I get passionate and I feel bad because I know courting has worked for people, of course, you know, but I just think sometimes the courtship culture can be so negative at times in terms of its effects. Because like you said, going into something saying, I'm going to marry this person that I only see on Sundays, like it's scary. And just to be completely real on it, you know, I love, a lot of pastors say this, but the gifts of God are irrevocable. It says in the Bible, like all the anointings, the gifting, those are irrevocable. And the kind of the scandalous part of that is, even if the person doesn't have the greatest character, there are a lot of worship leaders and pastors out there that have amazing words, that preach these amazing things, or they're beautiful when they sing their songs of worship. But then when they are not on the stage, they have character flaws. I mean, we all have character flaws, but you know, there are people out there that have addictions and things that you would never guess on the surface. And so, and I have a heart because I have a lot of, I tend to be like an older protected brother of a lot of girls in my life, you know.
Yeah, I can see that.
And my heart breaks because I've seen those stories, you know. I've seen a girl that, you know, this guy just started coming to church and he seems like a great guy. He seems really friendly. So, you know, she's like, well, I might as well, this is the guy. He just, God brought him to the church for me. They date really short time, engage, get married, and then they get married. And the guy's like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm actually not Christian. I only went to church to find a girl, so we're not going to go to church anymore. Oh, you know what? All those values, they're stupid. No, we're not doing that. It's like, and not to say that that's all courtship's fault, but those situations can happen so much easier than that, where you don't get to know someone more, where you try to say that God did this, so I have to go through with it. You know, my heart breaks for those situations.
Yeah.
And, you know, I definitely deal with some righteous anger towards guys who do that. And I'm sure girls can do the same thing. You know, I can only speak to the guy experience, but in courtship, there's just so much pressure, I feel like, at times of, you have to get married to this person. Like, this is your person. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts. And, you know, there's the self-imposed courtship, of course, where you just are like, okay, there's this really pretty girl that sings amazing. She's my wife. Let's go. Don't do that, especially if you haven't asked her before. That's really awkward.
Never approach a girl.
Don't make your opening line like, God told me you're going to be my wife. It's not a good idea. That's a joke, but I've actually heard that happen. But also, even just in, you know, just putting all that pressure. And sometimes it can be pressure from other people. I've had friends that parents, family, leadership in church have been like, you're supposed to be with this person. And they have a good heart behind it. You know, they think it's a good fit, but then there's all this behind the scenes stuff that they may not know character wise. So then the girl or guy feels trapped. Like, well, I don't want to disappoint these people around me. They're saying this is good. I guess I just have to stick it out and hope it gets better. And sometimes, to be real, in this fallen world, it doesn't get better. Exactly. You know, God, we can pray. We can pray, but it doesn't always get better. With dating, I say this in the article, and I love this. I think sometimes in a lot of Christian circles, we want to make our own versions of things. Mm-hmm. What's the God version of this? Which is cool, but I remember when I was in high school, when Facebook and MySpace were all blowing up, everyone created, like, there are people creating, like, hisholyspace.com, godsbook.com.
That's a dating app right now, isn't it, Holy?
GodTube instead of YouTube. Like, there was a Christian version of everything. And I get the heart behind it, but it's really funny because sometimes we define things by how a group of people are doing it. And dating is a great example. Yeah, sure. Are there people in the quote-unquote world, like, not in the church, that dating looks like hookup culture? I'm going to go to a bar, meet a girl, hook up. If it doesn't work out, no big deal. Just go on to the next one. Yeah, of course. But that's not all what dating is. You know, dating,
Yeah,
that umbrella. Every culture has its own view on dating. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, I use the comparison to cooking. Like, if I mess up cooking on a frying pan and something gets burnt, I don't then go, you know what? All cooking is bad. I'm never using a frying pan again. I'm never cooking. I'm going to make a new thing called preparing food. I don't cook. I prepare food. No, you're still cooking. So even courting, in a way, is a form of dating.
Yes,
it's not.
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think making your own dating process to what works for you with, you know, biblical standards and input from mentors and friends is really important. Don't try to do a rigid rule list that may have worked for someone else, but may not work for you.
Yeah. I was actually just in a group of people where there were three couples. Well, the one girl wasn't able to be there, but basically three couples represented there. And it was really cool because one of them had just gotten married. One of them's getting married Saturday, and one of them's engaged. And the one who had just gotten married, they got married within just a matter of a few months. And it was a very spiritual experience where they both felt like they really heard the Lord, and they just wham, bam, and got married. And I was watching this unfold, holding my breath, going, like, you know, see each other for a year or something first, please, you know. And yet there's, God is able to do everything. And so it works out beautifully for this couple. They're very happy. But that is not to say that it's going to work beautifully for the next couple. You know, the next girl might feel very trapped in such a spiritualized context because she's not as certain about whether or not she's hearing the Lord, or she might think she's hearing the Lord, but she really doesn't like the guy. Do you know if a girl's dating a guy for 3 or 4 or 5 months or even less, if there's major incompatibilities cropping up that she can't live with, mm-hmm. she had better not be saying, yeah, but I had all these signs, you know, and my pastor wants it and his family wants it. And there's so many things that could pressure a girl into leading her into marriage, bypassing her own heart and what she knows that she absolutely needs in a relationship. And I'm not talking just about silly little, you know, ideas. I think, you know, girls especially, they can have almost like soul ties with an imaginary person in their head that doesn't even exist. That's a whole nother topic I'd love to talk about in another podcast, but we probably don't have time to get into that. But all that to say is we had better in those moments encourage young girls, not just girls. I'm speaking more about girls because I'm a girl. You deal with the guys, but you also deal with the girls because you're just a friend to everyone. You're just like that. But if a girl is feeling like she had spiritual signs and then she's going, wow, I cannot be married to this, you know, she had better go, okay, I'm not going to marry him then, mm-hmm. you know, versus going, I had all these signs, God's going to take care of it, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. That will wreck both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I love you brought that up because it's like in other decisions of our life, like when we buy a car, do we just go to a car ownership and just, or car shop and that one right there? No, we ask about the car. We maybe test drive the car. That's going to be using bad connotation. Test drive more meaning like, what's the car like? I know the world would use that a different way. Yeah. And even a house, you know, do you just say, oh, I see a house for rent on 6th Street. Let's just go for it. No, you do a house tour. You ask people, you know, and if those things, they're big life decisions, but not as big as marriage. If we do that with that, why wouldn't we want to do that with someone we're going to spend the rest of our lives with is the goal?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's 100% important. I love that. That's so true. And, you know, I think you said so much that was so good about that of it is the responsibility of the person getting to know, you know, what guy or girl. And I think sometimes, even though the church or families can have the best intentions, I would say to kind of be funny and blunt, we don't live in the medieval times anymore. We don't, you know, you're not marrying off your daughter to get more cattle to better your farm. I would say as much as like, I want input. Don't get me wrong. I want input from my family, from my mentors, from my friends. I do want that. but I don't want them to make the choice for me. Mm-hmm. It's going to be my life. You know, if your pastor is the one who like getting you with someone and doing all that, guess what? You might move churches. It's not the pastor's problem anymore. He's not having to live the life. You need to first make the decision for yourself. Without spiritualizing of God, like, no, how do you feel about the person? Like, okay. Do you a like spending time with them?
Yeah. A pastor can say, this is a great guy. This is an awesome mm-hmm. guy. And he will have no idea of some internal problems because, yeah, the guy is a great guy. But there are mm-hmm. internal problems that wouldn't work, you know?
And yeah.
Again, it's not only a spiritual thing or only emotional thing or only a physical thing. It's like, you might start by praying and being like, this guy seems like a guy of, you know, high moral character. Then you have to see if your emotions fall into place and if you're physically attracted to him. Like, never marry anyone you're not physically attracted to, you know? And never marry anyone that you're physically attracted to, but you don't have the spiritual fellowship. Like, it takes time to unpack.
To know those things.
It takes time to know and to just see, am I compatible? And so I think that is my encouragement to the girls and guys out there. And I know that you are on the same page with that. Like, just take your time. Don't be afraid to date and then say, hey, this isn't going to work out. But also don't be afraid to date. Again, this is probably for another podcast, but don't be afraid to open yourself to dating people that may not be your type.
Man, we have so many podcasts. Every time you say that, I'm like, yeah, I could go off on that too.
Yeah.
One thing about dating, I was thinking about this too, is I love what you said, like, it takes time, because it does.
Yeah.
Because here's the reality, you know, let's just say I'm going out on our first date. I'm going to be, even with the best, most pure-hearted intentions, I'm going to be performing. Mm-hmm. I am going to get dressed extra nice. I'm probably not going to wear what I wear on a Tuesday. When I get off work, I'm going to be wearing a super nice outfit. I'm going to be, you know, maybe if I'm not a big cologne guy, I'm going to be wearing the nicest cologne. I am going to be presenting the best image I can present.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm not going to be like, you know, yeah, I actually am in $20,000 in debt. I'm, you know, I live with my mom. I'm not going to say any of that. I'm going to present the best image, and not even out of bad, you know, it's not me trying to mislead. I'm just trying to like present the best image because I'm interested in someone. Mm-hmm. And girls, I'm sure, have the same thing. So it takes time to get to know someone and to build that kind of dating rapport where you start to open up more, where you start being more yourself around someone, you know? And I think that can be somewhat controversial in church, of like the idea that, well, you have to date someone before you know you're going to get married to them. But it is true, because we all are a little different when we're dating someone, when we feel comfortable with someone. You know, it takes that time to know who someone really is. You know, in my past relationship, it took a couple months for us to like truly just relax. Okay, we are way more compatible. Awesome. Let's now let those walls down one by one and start letting them in. And then in that process, I'm like, oh, I didn't see this, because we had our walls up and we were performing. This thing is not something I'm looking for. Okay, let's note that. And you kind of should have a list of things. We'll go off this another podcast too, but you should have things that are the most important to you, and maybe some things that are, you know, you'd want but aren't a big deal.
Yes, and I tell girls that the first thing that should be most important to them is not looks. Some of the hottest guys have the worst character. And that is a lot. I'm not just saying a little.
Like, no, it's
girls
true.
Girls are often treated much better with much higher moral character and ability to commit by guys who are not as good looking, because they are simply not as entitled. They don't take things for granted. Their character is often just a whole lot deeper. And it's kind of a puzzle to me why that is, you know. And so I think that is one thing I am so passionate speaking to the girls of our culture, because they are turning away a ton of guys because, oh, he's not the cutest guy at church. You know, yep. Why would I go out with him? And I'm like, he's probably the exact guy you should be going out with, because he will treat you like you have always dreamt of being treated. And mm-hmm. and you will fall in love with him and you will end up being attracted to him physically as well. And so I think the same is true for guys. Like I feel like a lot of girls are bypassed who are maybe not the prettiest. But that's for another podcast too. We have 2 minutes left.
Okay. So
I just want to thank you for coming on today, Johnny. And I value your input, your experience, your thoughts. I think we should do more of these. And to everyone, I'm so grateful you were here to listen to Johnny Davis's thoughts. He is incredible with people, ton of experience. And if you want to see more, I'll be blogging his article on my blog, sarah-daigle.org. You can also follow me on Instagram or Facebook for more content, as well as follow him. Johnny is always up for a one-on-one conversation. Follow him on social media, Johnny Davis, and shoot him any personal DM with any question that you might have about your own dating experience or relational questions. So we're going to sign off for now, but we will be back.